Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. It's estimated that trench foot, a condition caused by continual exposure to cold, damp, and unsanitary conditions causing feet to become necrotic, contributed to the deaths of 2,000 U.S. and 75,000 total soldiers during World War I. The problem became so acute during that war that women, children, and elderly were called upon to knit socks for the soldiers in their homes. While this program was well-intentioned, this program did suffer from some quality control problems, underscored by a veteran's ditty that wrote, "Thank you, kind lady, your socks are a fit. I use one for a hammock and one for a mitt." Now, technology has certainly improved since World War I, but the need hasn't changed. I bet at this very moment there's a drill sergeant somewhere lecturing new troops about keeping their feet clean and dry. Today we'll be talking with an organization that began with a humble support mission of supporting our deployed troops with good, clean socks. But back to that word, technology. What Soldier Strong is doing to support those who serve today would be considered science fiction by those soldiers in the World War I trenches. Stay tuned. This is going to be very, very enlightening. We're very pleased to be joined on American Warrior today by the man who founded the nonprofit organization Soldier Strong, Christopher Meek. Welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's a thrill. I got to tell you, Chris, in my day job, I use the air quotes, I work with a lot of nonprofits, and the agility with which your organization has pivoted and adapted and evolved is astounding. And so I thought, let's get this guy on and find out what he and his folks are doing. Now, Chris, you're a very successful financial entrepreneur or entrepreneur in the financial services industry. I can't find anything in your background about military service. So why were you compelled to get these things going?
Sure. So I appreciate that. Again, thanks for having us today. Correct. So no military service by myself. That is one of life's regrets for me. But the real crux for this started, so as you mentioned, you know, I'm a financial services guy. I've worked in New York City for over 25 years, and was working at the World Trade Center on 9/11 during the attacks. I was responsible for getting 29 people out that day. And so, you know, I think the first thing that led to this, the organization starting was as I, like tens of thousands of New Yorkers were fleeing the towers, seeing the hundreds of first responders charge in. So I knew at some point, I'd have to do something to give back, but I had no idea when it would be or what it would be. And fast forward a few years later, during the heart of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a friend and mentor of mine who, you know, I want to say was a Marine, but once a Marine, always a Marine, as we know, he came to me with a letter he'd received from another Marine then deployed in Afghanistan, simply stating that they weren't living on bases, they were in jeeps and foxholes, and asked for tube socks because they'd hike all day and throw the old ones away, and baby wipes for personal hygiene, and that's how they would take a shower. So that's the start of the organization, which we just turned, we'll be turning 11 years old next month.
So you're originally incorporated as Soldier Socks, if I'm not mistaken,
yes.
In 2009.
Correct.
And you've shipped over 75,000 pounds. Am I getting that right?
That is correct, sir.
How do you come up with 75,000 pounds of baby wipes and socks? I mean, yikes.
So, you know, we got lucky, and I'll use your air quotes, lucky around that. You know, we started out here locally. I live in Connecticut, about 35 miles from New York, and just did some drives here with local businesses, churches, schools, temples, things like that, and worked with a National Guard base to ship the supplies over. So our first couple drives were maybe like 1,000 to 1,500 pounds each, but then we were picked up by a radio show, a nationally syndicated radio show in New York City that has 40 million listeners in 80 markets. So he picked us up, put us on the air, and started having sock drives from Maine to Miami to Hollywood to everywhere in between. So all of a sudden, you know, in theory, the 75,000 pounds of stuff sounds great. But when your garage is full of socks and baby wipes and other stuff, and you live in Connecticut and it's February and there's 2 feet of snow and your wife can't pull her car in the garage, that's not so good for me.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, we know how those radio guys can be.
Very, very persuasive.
What, Chris, what, and by the way, folks, learn more, visit soldierstrong.org to find out more about this great organization. I mentioned earlier, Chris, the evolution and your ability to be agile, which I'm guessing is pretty darn important in the financial services industry. So maybe that's, you know, that's where you got it. But at which point did you decide or what motivated the organization to make the shift from, supporting deployed troops to supporting returning veterans, or the addition maybe?
Yep. So it's the summer of 2012, and the wars are winding down. The troops were coming home, and so thankfully there wasn't a need for us to send care packages. And we were looking to close up shop. There wasn't that need. And another friend of mine came to me and said, Chris, you should take a look at the post-9/11 GI Bill. There's some pretty significant gaps in there. And so I did some homework on it, and there are some pretty good holes in there from a tuition perspective. And at the time, the economy was still a little shaky, post-financial crisis. I knew that veteran unemployment was twice the national average, so we started to focus into scholarships to help those returning veterans. And to help us with that transition, we came up with the mission statement of helping service members take their next steps forward. So our thought was taking steps on the battlefield with tube socks and now taking steps in job training and education. So we launched three scholarship plans to begin with. One was a general fund for any school of their choice, and the other two are sister programs, I call them. One is at the Walsh School of Foreign Service at Georgetown, a master's degree, and the other is at the Maxwell School of Citizenship at Syracuse University, which, full disclosure, is my beloved alma mater, but that's the number one public policy school. And our concept there was to help them continue life in public service, but now as private citizens.
Now, Chris, you mentioned that you don't have a military or a law enforcement background, but if folks visit your website, soldierstrong.org, they'll see that you got lots of folks involved who do have that life experience, those connections. So are there some names in there that people would recognize?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the first one would be Commander Rourke Denver, Navy SEAL, and he was the lead actor in the movie Act of Valor. And they converted his first name to his last name in the movie, so he was Commander Rourke in the movie. Colonel Bill Smullen was the chief of staff for Chairman of Joint Chiefs, General Colin Powell, and then Secretary of State Colin Powell. Vice Admiral Bob Moret was head of Naval Intelligence. So just a few names out there on the military side.
Yeah, un poquito, just a couple. Chris, we're getting ready to make our transition here to the second phase, but you've got a lot of programs that are helping people make that transition, take those next steps, as you say. So I want to focus and share a little bit about those, but I really want to start with what I think is the coolest one. I mean, I'll be honest, the soldier suit. Give our listeners a little tease what we're talking about when we say soldier suit.
So, I mentioned how we came up with the mission statement of helping service members take their next steps forward. And about 6 or 8 months after launching the scholarship program, I read an article in the magazine on a company just outside of San Francisco that makes what's called an exoskeleton device. And this is a wearable robot that enables a spinal cord injured or paralyzed individual to stand and walk again. And after reading the article, I thought, well, how cool would it be to help the veterans take literal steps forward and help them roll into a room, 5 minutes later stand up and walk across that same room? So through what I call the modern miracle of social media, I reached out to the CEO through LinkedIn. I was going to be in San Francisco a few weeks later on business and asked if I could to meet with him and tour the facility. And flew out there, walked in, and it's an old Ford factory, so it's a massive, massive facility. And they do a lot of work for the military and for DARPA. So in the back of the room is sort of the white elephant where all the secret stuff is going on. But I describe it as, so I'm a big James Bond fan. And when he goes to get all his new guns and his cars and stuff, there's all these things kind of blowing up and the pens are blowing up and things like that. So it was similar to that. There's all these sort of arms and legs just kind of randomly walking around the place. So after seeing the device and seeing a demo, I was sold in 30 seconds. And I said, okay, I would like to fund and donate 10 of these devices. Now, as a sales guy in finance, I made the mortal mistake of not asking how much. And each device is for the bargain basement price of $150,000.
American.
So I sort of gulped and swallowed my pride, and we'd never raised that in a year before because most of our donations were in kind, like tube socks and baby wipes. So I thought, okay, well, I'm on the hook now, so off we go. About 6 months later, we donated our first device, and that went to an individual veteran. But what we learned after making that donation were a couple of things. First is that the technology isn't quite at the point where an individual can wear it, 12 or 14 hours a day. It'd be like you and I going to the gym with a personal trainer. You wear it for 30, 60, 90 minutes for physical therapy.
Okay.
So we then transitioned to donating the devices to the spinal cord injury unit within VA medical centers.
And Chris, this is a good point to place to pause, if you don't mind, because in preparing for this show, I learned something really, really fascinating about, you know, I just assumed that the exoskeletons would be a kind of a RoboCop thing that they'd wear all day long, but you clarified that. But then the miracle of medicine, what these exoskeletons are doing. I want us to talk more about that when we come back from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're joined by Chris Meek of soldierstrong.org. Let me just leave you with a quote from one of Chris's clients. You can't put a price on walking. You can't put a price on someone's ability to be 6 foot tall again and stand up and kiss your wife, stand up and hug your daughter or your son. There's no price on that. There's no price on getting those small treasures, the small things that seem insignificant when you have the ability to do them, but they become so significant when you no longer have that ability. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Here at American Warrior Radio, we consider it our duty to share the stories of the brave men and women who protect us at home and abroad. Our audience is growing, but there's still so many more ears that need to hear these important messages. Will you lend us a hand? Please consider supporting our mission by becoming a patron of American Warrior Radio. For the price of one cup of coffee a month, you can help us extend our reach and earn some great prizes in the process. Learn more by visiting patreon.com/American Warrior Radio. That's patreon.com/American Warrior Radio. Thank you.
Diamondback has been your hometown source for all of your shooting and personal protection needs for over 17 years. We stock handguns, shotguns, and rifles from all of the major manufacturers, including Glock, SIG, Smith & Wesson, Ruger, Colt, LMT, H&K, CZ, Mossberg, and Springfield. You will find the biggest selection of holsters in southern Arizona at Diamondback, along with all the accessories needed to maintain your firearms. Don't forget optics and the best ammo prices. AR parts are available from Magpul, Troy, Volter, GG&G, Surefire, and Odinworks. We are a Class 3 dealer, so be sure to ask about silencers. They're legal to own and hunt with in Arizona, and they make shooting more enjoyable. Training classes for novice through advanced students in pistol, rifle, and shotgun are now available. Pick up a schedule today for more details. We now have a full-time gunsmith on site. Everything from basic gun repairs to custom metalwork and Cerakote finishing. Diamondback Shooting Sports is located at 7030 East Broadway and is open 7 days a week. 886-8338. Find us at dbackshootingsports.com. Trident Grill is one of the most military-friendly restaurants in Tucson, with military discounts every day of the year. Trident has great food. It's also one of those unique places that instantly makes you feel like you've been a customer for years. All your favorite sports on high-definition TVs and the best happy hours in town. Three great locations. The original near the U of A at 2033 East Speedway. Trident 2 at Plaza Palomina, 2960 North Swan. And at Williams Center, 250 South Craycroft, TridentGrill.com.
Hi, it's Chris.
And Corbin.
Those guys from Tucson Appliance Company. We realize that things are out of the ordinary right now, so stay safe, everyone.
Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson, is here and open for you.
You're spending much more time at home with your appliances.
So we're extending our sale. Now through the end of June, we'll pay the entire sales tax and the entire in-stock purchase.
That's right, we'll pay the sales tax. So who's saving you the most money? Those guys from Tucson Appliance Company. We're our low pricing, your priority.
These days, we're all paying more attention to our health, but when's the last time you thought about your doctor?
Do you have your doctor's personal cell phone number? We do, and she answers personally.
Does your doctor recognize the expense of health care and only bill in 15-minute increments? Do they care enough about your privacy to only maintain paper records? Does your doctor make house calls? Ours does.
Dr. Lori Thomas is our hometown family doctor. She practices medicine the old-fashioned way. We love her approach, and you will too.
Be healthy and happy by visiting LoriThomasMD.com and tell her American Warrior Radio sent you.
Pima Community College is proud that some 2,000 student veterans or their dependents attend PCC each year. Our Veteran Services staff is dedicated to help student veterans secure their full GI benefits and successfully transition into school. Pima offers 8-week sessions on Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. Evening classes are a great fit for students with a busy schedule. Pima provides free counseling and resources for veterans who want to resume their education. You may be able to get college credit for what you learned during serving. Call 206-2266 or visit pima.edu/veterans to learn more. Pima Community College, committed to serving those who have kept America free.
I've been a fan of Jen and Eli Crane since they first came on our show following Bottle Breacher's appearance on Shark Tank. The staff at Bottle Breacher used 50 caliber ammunition downrange. They now use them to produce the best gift and promotional products on the market. American Warrior Radio uses logo-branded Bottle Breachers, and our fans love them. Now, you as a listener can save 20% when you visit BottleBreacher.com and use the code AWR20. Truly unique and personal company gifts made by veterans. Visit BottleBreacher.com and enter the American Warrior discount code AWR20. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're chatting with Chris Meek. Chris is the founder and chairman of just a really outstanding organization called Soldier Strong. You can learn more, visit soldierstrong.org. Chris, before we took the break, you were sort of giving us a little tease about your personal James Bond-ish experience. You know, you might want to check our podcast archives, Chris. We had Jonah Mendez, who's the original or one of the original masters of disguise on the show, fascinating stuff about some of those gadgets we think are just in the movies, really aren't just in the movies. You, during that visit, you referenced DARPA. Just to clarify to our civilian listeners, that's the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration. This company, clarify for me, Chris, they're originally building these suits to make more lethal soldiers. I mean, this is kind of literally a RoboCop sort of a thing, right?
Exactly. And actually, it's a fascinating story for this company. And your point about DARPA, you know, their job, their mission is to think of the battlefield 30 years from now and build it today. And so there was a Department of Defense initiative, I'll say about 10 years ago, in conjunction with Marine Corps. It was called the HULC program, H-U-L-C, and it stood for human, I forget what the acronym was, the military loves acronyms. But the idea was to make a soldier, make a Marine, when on the battlefield, be able to run faster, be able to carry 200 pounds on their back to make them stronger, so truly RoboCop or robo-soldier. And this particular company, one of the engineers, a Berkeley guy, his brother was a Navy SEAL, actually still is a SEAL. His brother was home on leave, was parasailing, and broke his neck and wasn't able to walk. And the engineer brother said, well, I'm going to make a machine to make you walk again. And the SEAL brother said, well, that's great, but I'm going to walk again anyway. And both happened. So the SEAL got shipped to the Richmond VA, which is one of the top spinal cord injury VAs in the country, fully rehabbed. And they converted the military device that they were making for Department of Defense into a medical device. And so I think just the natural history of this particular device with the military is just an incredible piece of the story.
Chris, one of the things I learned in doing the show prep and researching more about your organization and then actually looking and watching the videos on some of these stories was the idea that this is not something necessarily that's a like a wheelchair where they're going to be outfitted, in fact, very much unlike a wheelchair, actually thinking about that, where they're going to be outfitted with it the rest of their life. There's a fellow, one video on there, Sergeant Matt Ross. He died three times on the table, but he wanted to walk his daughter down the aisle. And they said, you're going to be permanently paralyzed. He wouldn't accept that. You guys stepped in, and he's now walking with just a cane in 10 weeks.
Yep, it's fascinating.
Fascinating. Great, it's miraculous.
Great American. Never gave up the fight. Just kept pushing. And like you said, he was a walking star down the aisle, and he did it. And, you know, since then, we've been to several events together. He's been acknowledged at the Minnesota Vikings game. He presented the game ball. Dallas Cowboys did the coin toss. Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs. So just a great ambassador, great American, great fighter.
Now,
great
dad. I've never played a physician on TV. I didn't sleep at Holiday Inn last night. So explain to us, Chris, how this works. My translation was, by using the suit, it's reminding his muscles and his nervous system what it's like to walk again. And is that an over-reader's digest version of that?
No, you're exactly right. It retrains your body to learn to walk again. A lot of these devices are used for stroke victims. And, you know, in this particular device, you can turn up or turn down in terms of the speed it walks, how much the machine does versus how much you do. You know, obviously the length, depending on the height of the person. And so you're going to start it out slower as you're retraining the muscles. And as the muscles learn, you have the machine doing less of the work, and your body is now, it's figured out how to take those steps forward again.
Now, this is exciting, and I'd like to talk more about this, but we still have to reserve time for the lots of other things that SoldierStrong.org is doing. But you do also, you know, the soldier suit is the coolest, I mean, looking. And but
it's
you,
sexy, I agree.
You also, though, are providing other things, other high tech for some of these soldiers. Mm-hmm. What are some of those, if you would describe them for us, Chris?
Sure. And so the soldier suit, you know, originally was just this exoskeleton. But what we've done is we've learned that of the 46,000 veteran nonprofits out there, we were the only ones focused on medical devices. And so we expanded that, and we wanted to think about, okay, what else is there from advanced revolutionary technology that we can put in the hands of our injured warfighters right now? And ironically enough, three of the five devices that we fund were originally part byproducts of DARPA. So there are two different exoskeletons that we fund. One is a prosthetic arm called the Luke arm, because it looks like Luke Skywalker's arm from Star Wars when he lost in the sword fight. Mm-hmm. And that's the only prosthetic arm that has full range of motion from your fingertips to your shoulders. There's another exoskeleton arm for veterans who have traumatic brain injury and limited mobility in their arms. And then lastly, is a prosthetic leg that has propulsion in the ankle, which eliminates the hobble when the veteran walks.
And these, so it's not just the original, not Exo, if I'm pronouncing that company right, but Indigo Therapy, Mobius Bionics, Miomo, Bion X Medical Technologies. This, your first flight out to San Francisco to talk to these folks, Chris, did you dream this all up on your own? Not to say you're not that smart, but did you have feedback from physicians and therapists, or you put two and two together?
Two and two together.
Wow.
I saw this as something that the VA wasn't providing, and was something that we could, and that was my duty and obligation to do that.
Now, it's not just the equipment that Soldier Strong is providing. In many cases, you had mentioned independence. You know, if someone is in a wheelchair right now, they can't just pop out of the wheelchair and strap on the suit. So there's personnel, there's therapists, mm-hmm. there's training that goes all along with this, correct? And you're also helping
correct.
To underwrite those costs.
Yes, absolutely correct. Yes.
What is your annual budget every year for Soldier Strong?
Well, it changes every year. But our budget is around $2 million.
Okay. I have been warned by a four-star general to not do math in public. How much are the suits again?
$150,000.
Okay, but that is a one-time purchase.
Correct.
Okay.
So what we do is we'll raise $150,000, buy a suit, and make a donation.
And how do you decide where these suits go? Is it where the need is based on what the VA is telling you, or...?
Exactly. So what we'll do is we will work with essentially the sales representatives from those two exoskeleton companies. So they're out there talking to the VAs, seeing where the need is, seeing who's interested, and then they'll come to me and say, hey, Chris, XYZ, VA in Texas is interested. Can we put them on your list?
Okay.
So that's what we do.
All right. How many, over the years, how many veterans total ballpark has your organization helped in some
ballpark?
Form or another?
Yeah, so from the exoskeletons, about 30,000. We've got 24 devices out there. You know, on the scholarship side, I had to look, we're around a dozen, because we do four a year. Maybe, no, it's going to be a few more than that, maybe closer to 20 now. So that's where we've been in the device side.
Chris, have you been there physically present when a veteran gets into one of these suits and takes those first...
Upright.
Can
and
you
every time is special.
Paint that picture for us. We are on radio, but if you can just describe honestly, I can't imagine what that must be like and the pride and the joy and all that stuff.
I think the best way to describe it, we gave a one of our early donations went to the Palo Alto VA, and there was a Marine there who sadly enough he had done his tour, came back home, was getting ready to redeploy. Was given some shot, and that shot paralyzed him. So when he came to use the device at the Palo Alto VA, he stood up and they said, Sergeant, how's it feel to stand? And he paused and said, today's the first day I've been able to stand and kiss my wife in 3 years.
Mm. Wow. Hard to do that even for a tough guy not to tear up seeing that.
Yep, no question.
Chris, can you tell us what is there a percentage of success rate? I'm assuming that not everyone gains the ability to go from you'll never walk again to walking with just a cane.
Yeah, no, that's true. I would say it is a lower percentage in terms of those that become fully rehabilitated. And it depends on the severity of the injury. And, you know, I wasn't very good in biology in high school, so didn't bother taking it in college. So there are different vertebrae numbers you have, you know, C7, T6, things like that, in terms of where the injury has come from. And essentially, if you're paralyzed from the chest down, depending on where the break is, chances are you won't be able to fully walk again. But if it's a little bit lower than that, it's about a 50-50 chance that you will be able to get out of that wheelchair and use a cane, or even get rid of the cane.
Wow. But, if you're helping one life or 30,000 lives.
You know, the big thing that I learned that I didn't think about was, you know, what these devices do on the physical side is they do things like reduce urinary tract infection, increase muscle density, increase bone density, and so you're giving them a better, longer quality of life.
Makes sense. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Chris Meek. He's the founder and chairman of Soldier Strong. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about some of their other cool programs. You can do some homework while we take a break. Visit soldierstrong.org. Stick around.
Military life can do a number on your back. Did you know chronic pain affects 44% of military personnel? The Joint Chiropractic is here to help, offering a discount on chiropractic care for active and retired military members and their families. Come in now to experience the Joint's exclusive military pricing of just $19 for your initial consultation, exam, and adjustment. Open evenings and weekends. No appointment or insurance required. Visit thejoint.com for a location near you in Tucson. You have our back. Let us help you with yours.
There's never been a better time to get out and enjoy our great outdoors and improve your health. Whether you're a recreational cyclist or a competitor, check out Tucson Endurance Performance Center. Owner Brian Grasky is an F-16 pilot and competed at the national level. He knows the importance of quality equipment kept in top shape. That's why Tucson Endurance Performance Center has the most experienced techs in town. Check out their variety of bicycles, equipment, and gear at TucsonEnduranceCenter.com or stop by one of their two locations, northeast corner of Oracle and Orange Grove, or in the Crossroads Festival Complex at Grant and Swan.
You took an oath to protect and serve our nation. Why not continue that service in our community? The Pima County Sheriff's Department is seeking individuals who exemplify discipline, leadership, and compassion and invites you to test for the position of deputy sheriff or correctional officer. Military applicants receive preference points and earn VA education benefits and college credits during training. Correction officers start at $21.50 per hour and deputies at $25.50 per hour. You must be 18 to apply for corrections and 21 for sheriff's deputies. Begin your second career of service by visiting GOPCSD or call 520-351-6847.
At the Brush Fire Barbecue Company, we recognize that the freedoms we enjoy every day are owed to the men and women who have volunteered to protect our nation. We offer a 10% military discount and encourage Tucson to do the same. And the next time you're in the mood to celebrate America, stop by one of our Brush Fire Barbecue locations, 22nd and Kolb or Campbell Avenue just south of Glen. Need to feed an army or maybe a small group? Call our catering department or visit brushfirebbq.com. Brush Fire Barbecue, Tucson's habit-forming barbecue.
For some people, difficult transitions like retirement, divorce, or loss of a loved one may contribute to feelings of hopelessness or even thoughts of suicide. The risk of suicide is even higher for men over 50 who've served our country, guys like me. Support from friends and family makes such a big difference. Every day, your actions could help save a life. Learn how you can help at veteranscrisisline.net.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows. Refinance and save money now or get into your dream home. The Dellinger team at Nova Home Loans finds you the best rate. 440-0516 or azfamilyfirst.com. Sean and Tiffany have a special passion for helping military and first responder families. Anywhere in Arizona, Colorado, California, or Nevada, the Dellinger team, azfamilyfirst.com. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087BK, 0902429. Equal housing lender.
BBG here. COVID crisis or not, for me, a great burger is essential. If that describes you, visit my friends at Divine Bovine on the corner of Wilmot and Speedway. Your nose will confirm you made the right choice even before you open the doors. Unique flavor combinations, lovingly handcrafted from 100% USDA blend of chuck, brisket, and short rib, or my favorite, the farm-raised bison. Trust me, these will be the best burgers you've ever tasted. Always a 10% discount for members of our military and first responders. Start your taste buds dreaming at DivineBovineBurgers.com.
Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Christopher Meeks. He is the founder and chairman of an organization called Soldiers Strong. Chris, I'm guessing a lot of the folks, our listeners out there, whether they're veterans or maybe they have a family member who could use your help, they can get more information at soldierstrong.org. But what is the process to connect the dots here?
How do we get from socks to here?
No. How does, if there's someone out there who's hearing this show and saying, hey, I know someone who could use your help, can they go to the website and apply, or how do
Yeah, absolutely. And so just go to the website and you'll see Contact Us, and it'll have both an info@email address as well as a phone number, a toll-free phone number. And when you call a toll-free phone number, there's a few options. One will go to a general fund, or there's one actually that goes to my voicemail. So feel free to reach out and we can discuss how we can potentially help.
Chris, Ben gets a dumb question every show. This is not necessarily a dumb question, but it's one I feel compelled to ask. I hope it doesn't make you uncomfortable. We've had a number of or done a number of shows about stolen valor. And what you're investing in and helping these people take their next steps forward in life is substantial. What is your process to make sure that indeed the folks you're helping are real?
Well, you know, again, we are dealing primarily with the VA.
Okay.
And so, whether it be for the individual devices, for the prosthetic arm or leg, or for the exoskeleton, all of that goes through the VA. For the scholarships, other than the general fund, at the universities where they're endowed, the university chooses that veteran, and so they know that it's a veteran just based on their discharge papers.
Okay, so you've got a layer of protection between you and the... Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So it turned out to be a dumb question after all.
No such thing.
I maintain my record. So, Chris, before we come off of the cool James Bond RoboCop stuff, is there anything else you'd like to touch on that subject before we talk a little bit about some of your other programs?
No, I think we'll have a good segue here. So I'll go for the next question.
Okay, so I'm not a biological expert. I'm not a financial expert. There's a lot of things I'm not, but man, I can tear up the video games. And one of the things you do fascinates me. It made me scratch my head, but it's wonderful. Hard medicine for a hard problem. Tell us about your Strong Mind initiative.
Yeah, you know, this really has been from 0 to 60 in a heartbeat. It's something we started a year and a half ago, and similar to the exoskeleton, was an accident. We talked about the one veteran who was able to stand up and kiss his wife. One of the exoskeletons we gave went to the Denver VA, and whenever we make a donation, I'll typically go there, and there'll be a little bit of a ceremony. And so after that donation, the chief spinal cord docs came to me and said, hey, Chris, you know, in addition to physical therapy, we're going to use this device for a mental health study. And I kind of scratched my head and said, well, mental health study on what? And they said, for somebody to actually have the ability to stand up and be eye level with the world again. And that just simple concept just blew my mind. So we'd been looking to get into the mental health space at the time, but it's a big space, it's a crowded space, and didn't know where our business model of advanced revolutionary technology would fit. So similar to your gaming skills, I'm becoming a pretty good Googler. And so I just started researching veteran mental health, which led me down to post-traumatic stress, which led me to stigma, which led me to veteran suicide. So I just started doing more research in terms of, okay, what's the high-tech stuff that's out there focusing on mental health issues in post-traumatic stress? And came across a clinician at the University of Southern California who had developed virtual reality software to help post-9/11 veterans. And so similar to the other California company with the exoskeleton, had reached out to him through LinkedIn, and he's down in Southern California, and said, hey, I'd like to come out. So in January of last year, a small team of us from the board flew out there and tried everything, and it was video game-like. But when they've got 14 different worlds between Iraq and Afghanistan, so it puts you back in a Humvee. It puts you at that forward-deployed hospital. You could be walking through a market. There's a shaker box that you stand on, and so when an IED goes off, you feel it. When a jet flies overhead, you feel it. And said, okay, we're in. But before I said we're in, I learned from the first time, I asked how much it cost. So, they were blown away. They weren't expecting it. I guess they do a lot of dog and pony shows where people just want to come in and kick the tires. And so from there, we figured out what we needed to do with the university from a licensing perspective. And we've done some work with former VA Secretary Bob McDonnell in the past, reached out to him, and he introduced me to a woman named Dr. Carolyn Clancy, who oversees the VA's innovation ecosystem. And these are the real forward-thinking, advanced, you know, best medicine for our veterans, people in the VA. And we've been very fortunate to work with them. And what they do now, similar to the exoskeleton companies, is they'll reach out to VA medical centers and ask them if they're interested in this technology. And so we'll have a couple of phone calls on that. We'll get the USC team on the line to ask them, ask the docs Q&A. And if they say yes, then what we do is we provide, we fund the VR software, hardware, and clinician training.
Chris, I think it was maybe the National Guard or one of the DOD organizations here had an event several years ago where they took civilians and put them through an immersion program. Mm-hmm. And part of that was the stuff that we as civilians don't think about when someone comes back from war. So, for example, you know, for us, a sack of garbage on the side of the road is just that. It's a sack of garbage on the side of the road. For a veteran, that might be an IED. For us, driving over an overpass on the freeway is 3 seconds of shade. For them, it could be a sniper perch. All these things that could be triggers out there, I just want to say that because I want to make sure civilians out there understand how this is a sometimes a minute-to-minute, hour-to-hour things for some of these veterans with PTSD. I was a little shocked when I thought, okay, wait a minute, we're going to take a soldier who's had some trauma and reintroduce them back into that trauma over and over and over again. It seems counterintuitive.
It does. And that is the exact question and item everyone raises when they start looking into this. And it's a type of therapy you mentioned, it called immersion therapy. And the concept here is to bring you back to that trigger point and you get eased back into it. And so, you know, you'll have different sessions. You will be with a trained clinician as you go through this, as you're in the VR. And first, you know, the clinician will talk to you, and, you know, for 15 or 20 minutes. How are you feeling today? Do you want to hurt yourself? Anything going on? They'll then take you back to that point. And you may not go through the whole scenario all at once. In fact, 99% of the time you will not. It will take you time to build up to the exact specific minute and second of that trigger point. And so they will slowly ease you back into it. Then once you come out of the VR world, you then will talk to the clinician again and say, okay, well, how are you feeling now that you've gone through this? And you just hear different stories of how people react, how they remember. I didn't fully comprehend it. I understood the concept of it. And we had an event in Boston last fall where a veteran who's actually featured on our website came to demo the technology. And the gentleman from USC who built it actually came out to run the demo. And all of a sudden, in a snap of a finger, he was back in that moment. He was in the fight. You saw his stance change like he was holding a gun. It was jaw-dropping. And to see it work, and he's become fully recovered from that, and he's now becoming a clinical psychiatrist to help veterans like himself. So it's one of the great, true American success stories.
Wow. And so the key about this is, I understand that they're in a safe place. You're not just sending them home with a headset,
correct,
some software.
They're not by themselves. No, they are with a trained clinician. They are in a medical setting. They will not be able to hurt themselves in that setting.
Is there... So I go through a session and I've had enough. I've got to back out. Then do you, do they go home and come back the next week? Or, I mean, do some of them just take a break, have a soda and say, okay, I'm ready to try it again? Or is it, because I guess I'm like dosage of a drug. You got to be careful how you drip
it
in the, okay.
Exactly. And you figure it out case by case, but for most of them, it seems to be weekly on average. And also what's been proven to do is reduce the number of sessions needed by about 50%. So it's anywhere from 9 to 11 sessions that patient is now able to talk about and cope with that trigger point, with that situation that has been haunting them for however many years.
Chris, I've had numerous programs on the show and veterans, and that, you know, they refer to the fruit salad of the drugs that they put them on so often. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that was it's the easy response here. You know, take 12 of these and call me in the morning.
Yep.
Why aren't we doing more of this virtual reality if it's so successful? Is it really a cost issue?
You know, that's a great question, because we were fortunate that when we came into the game, sort of bottom of the ninth inning with USC, Department of Army had just done a big study with them or a big funding of the software, and they didn't realize that the software needed to be upgraded. Like any software, right? Your Windows Office or whatever it is, it all needs upgrades. So they had spent $30 million on the software and then walked away. So it was developed. It was right there to go out the door. And we came in and gave a small grant of six figures to USC to finish the deal. And so I'm not really exactly sure. Part of it, I think, is that it's so new from a treatment perspective. VAs don't have enough track history for it. Mm. However, you know, we committed to funding 10 of those. We got 14 out the door in 4 months at the end of last year.
Wow.
And so people are knocking on our door. There is a need for it. There's a want for it. The end of January is when we were able to do the first training session, two different training sessions for those 14 VAs. So now what we're doing is we're collecting data. There's a SharePoint where they're all talking to each other and talking about, hey, did I hook this wire up wrong? Well, I had this reaction from a patient. And so as we collect more and more data, you look, we're a data-driven world now, right? And as that's being shared and researched, I expect this to be much more prevalent and prominent in the VA medical system as a treatment.
Chris, our listeners, our regular radio, old-fashioned radio show listeners are principally in Tucson and Phoenix and Arizona, but we also have folks that stream from all around the country. What are these locations? Are they pretty well spread out geographically, and can they go to your website and find out where the nearest VR set is to them?
Yes, they're all there. And again, you know, we're working with the VA, and so they're going to be in some of your usual suspect places where there's a larger veteran population. So we're very heavily concentrated in Texas, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio. We have an exoskeleton in Phoenix. In fact, one of our veterans threw out the first pitch in a D-backs game last year, which is really awesome. But yeah, we have a map on there, and you'll be able to see the little logo for the Strong Mind program of where those locations are.
Okay, folks, and again, that's soldierstrong.org. Chris, we need to take one more break to help pay for the show, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about your other programs you offer, and then I want to get a little bit inside your head because you're clearly a very, very bright guy. I want to pick your brain some more about things other than super RoboCop suits. Stick around, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back. At The Specialist, they know the best quality window tint, paint protection, and alarm systems can defend your car. They do their job whether you're thinking about it or not. The Specialists remind you to take a moment to pause and thank those men and women who are protecting your rights, your freedoms, and your family. Many are doing so today, whether you're thinking about it or not. If you're a member of our armed forces looking to protect your vehicle, please visit any of the three locations in Tucson and one in Sierra Vista. Ask for your military discount. You've earned it. Find out more at az-specialist.com or call 795-430.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee is working to identify transportation priorities for the region. These priorities will guide development of an RTA continuation plan for projects beyond June 2026. The RTA's current 20-year transportation plan is funded by a state-established, voter-approved special taxing district within Pima County. To learn more about RTA's continuation plan, funding options, and how you can provide input, visit rtamobility.com.
Trust. Whether you're protecting our streets or our nation, you have to trust the man or woman beside you. Curtis Plumbing has developed a reputation of trust over 40 years, and you can count on their honest, hardworking technicians to properly diagnose and fix the problem the first time. Then Tucson's most reasonable rates, always a discount for seniors and members of our military. From the smallest job to a complete install or remodel, Curtis even provides 24 hours emergency service. 323-7697, curtisplumbing.net.
Research shows one in three job-seeking veterans are underemployed, with more veterans asking for help all the time. The mission of the Call of Duty Endowment is to place 100,000 veterans in high-quality jobs by 2024, and we are more than halfway to our goal. Last year alone, we placed more than 10,000 veterans in full-time jobs paying salaries significantly higher than the national minimum wage. And we do this at a cost one-sixth less than government programs. Will you help us reach our goal? You can donate to the Call of Duty Endowment with full confidence. We have received GuideStar's highest rating for transparency and impact. Every donation received goes directly to funding veteran employment programs. Activision Blizzard pays for all endowment operating costs. Help us make a real difference for our veterans today. Visit callofdutyendowment.org to learn more and make your tax-deductible donation today. That's callofdutyendowment.org.
Tucson, getting your thrill on has never been more safe. Defy Tucson, the most awesome extreme air sports park in Pima County, is open once again. They've always been about safety, and now they are exercising even more procedures to make sure your exercise is safe, including the use of antimicrobial spray coating with residual technology. If quarantine made your family bounce off the walls, why not come bounce off of theirs? Always a discount for military and veteran families. On Stone Avenue, just north of Tucson Mall, tucson.defy.com. We defy you to find a more exciting and safe experience in Tucson.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Christopher Meeks. Christopher had quite a successful, or probably still has a successful financial career, but he's been spending a lot, at least the last decade or so, Christopher, helping others, but with a particular focus on our veterans through his organization, Soldier Strong. You can find out more at soldierstrong.org. Chris, two other programs that jumped out at me from your website. The soldier recovery, which is, if I understand it correctly, that's to offset the costs of the physical therapy. Is that, would that be independent of some of your other programs like the soldier suit or the virtual reality? Or is
correct.
That in, okay.
Yep, correct. Separate program.
So tell us what will be the case there where that would be distinct from some of the other things that you
so
offer.
So some veterans may not live near a VA that has a spinal cord injury unit where they can go in for that therapy. And so they need to use whatever private insurance they may have to go to a private facility. A lot of places will give veterans discounts, but even still, it's not that cheap. And so they'll apply to us to help supplement those monthly bills.
And how many clients are you helping in that with those packages?
There are a few dozen. I have to look at the exact number, but it's somewhere between 25 and 30.
Okay.
The one of our smaller programs.
I love, you know, helping veterans take their next step forward in life. I love the idea, to me, the scholarships that you offer, the Soldier Scholar Program, that it makes sense to my marketing brain. But what was the pressure point there that convinced your organization to say, okay, this is a space we need to fill?
Well, you know, if you recall early in the show, I had mentioned how we found some pretty significant gaps in the post-9/11 GI Bill. And my thinking is that if somebody served our country and they were willing to put their life on the line, they should be able to go to whatever college or university or trade school that they want to and not have to worry about it, period.
End of story.
End of story, exactly.
Now, I tell you, this is one of the things I love about your organization, other than the fact that only about 10% of your costs go to administration, the rest goes to help these deserving veterans. But as I understand it, under the Soldier Scholar Program, you are actually evaluating those schools to make sure they're up to snuff, right?
Yes,
to
meet. Absolutely.
That's
absolutely very selective.
That's pretty cool. Who does that? Is that part of what you're spending that 10% administration on?
Exactly.
Wow. And name us. I mean, USC spends $30 million on software and then forgets about it. So do they qualify?
Well, no, it wasn't USC. It was the Department of Army.
Ah, okay. That makes more sense.
They funded USC.
Now. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. But, you know, we look at their grades, we look at their placement of veterans for jobs, we look at the strength of their program versus the national average, you know, using U.S. News and World Report, things like that.
Okay, fair enough. So, great programs. Folks, visit soldierstrong.org. Chris, I mean, we always have great guests on the show, but given that this is a civilian-to-civilian talk, you know, the reason this radio program exists is because my predecessor and myself feel it's essential to bridge that gap of understanding between the civilian world and those who protect us, both the military and first responder communities. Civilians need to get this. You obviously get it. What would be, if I could sit into Chris Meeks' very big brain, what would be your advice? I mean, how can we work together and get other folks together out there to surge this? What else do we need to do? Because the surveys I see of veteran families shows that they feel that gap is getting wider.
Yeah, agreed. And it's very unfortunate. I think the individuals or the families or folks, listeners out there need to find something that they're interested in or passionate about. You know, a big thing that we're focusing on now is post-traumatic stress, veteran suicide. There was a commercial during your break at the bottom of the hour for veteranscrisisline.net. And that is a major focus of what we're doing right now, because it's not only that particular veteran that's at risk, It's that immediate circle, the immediate family around that veteran. It's what the spouse is dealing with, what the children is dealing with, what coworkers are dealing with. That's not the same person that left their home when they were deployed before their 1, 2, 3, or 6 deployments. And so we're trying to help those families as well. And I'm saying that and raising that point because right now, as we're going through a global pandemic, mental health is a major, major topic. You're seeing studies come out all over the world. In China, over 70% of the population has experienced post-traumatic stress during this. Bloomberg, Washington Post, and New York Times all have shown over the last 3 months that Americans are expressing anxiety or depression between 33% and 40%. And those are people that are admitting it. Okay, so once we come across the other side of COVID-19, I'm expecting a global mental health tsunami. And so I'm trying to get ahead of the curve on that and trying to get our technology out there. We're looking at developing some software for first responders and mental health professionals in the VR space as well. And so that's something I'm becoming very passionate about. And so go with a topic that's passionate for you. Do you have a friend, a relative, a coworker that has some, I'll call it air quotes, issue, it's not an issue, but something that's bothering them, it's troubling them. So figure out a way that you can help them. You know, think nationally and act locally is how to solve the problem.
You know, you inspired me, Chris. I was just thinking we've had two actors on the show who never served but have played a number of military roles, Matthew Marsden and Max Martini. And it made me think of what they did is they produced movies. And I think mm-hmm. they both of them self-funded them that basically showed that, you know, not every veteran that comes back from a combat zone is a broken person.
Right. That is one of the biggest points that we need to get out there is they are not broken. They might need some help, but they are not a broken individual, not a broken person. They're a husband, a father, a spouse, a child, whatever. They just need a little bit of help. They are not broken.
And specifically mentally, and then coming back to what you do, the physical part of it, one of my favorite quotes came from one of the first quadruple amputees, and he says, look, I'm not an injured soldier. I'm a recalibrated soldier. And
love that.
I find that that's a very inspirational talk as well. What can our listeners do to help you and your organization specifically, Chris?
Well, obviously, you know, as you heard, we're always raising funds. I know things are very difficult and challenging right now, but learn more about what we do. You know, we've talked a lot here today and in an hour. It's 11 years of history in 60 minutes. So go to soldierstrong.org. But also to your earlier question of what people can do to help other people in their communities, I was fortunate enough to go through a program a few years ago at the Bush Center in Dallas. And if you look at George W. Bush, their website, the Bush Institute, they have a lot of different programs focused on supporting veterans as well as veteran families. And so just a great reference and resource there as well.
Okay, we'll look into that. The reason I love this chat, sir, is you got my brain spinning and going in all kinds of directions.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, except for the outputs from your brain are better than mine, but I'll stick into my lane. I'd had a number of, for example, there's one family on where they're both, she's former military, now DOD employee. He's still active duty military. And he said, look, we didn't experience an interruption in income during the COVID crisis. We still got our paychecks. And so now, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do with these stimulus checks, which we don't really need. So their decision was they're going to go out and spend it all locally with the, you know, little restaurants and little retailers. You know, it just made me think right now of what folks can maybe do if they're in that position. If you got a stimulus check that you don't know what to do with, and hey, maybe give it to an organization like soldierstrong.org. Let's get more of these virtual reality sets out there. And
100% tax deductable.
Leave it to the financial guy to bring that up. Chris, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We appreciate it. Maybe we'll, you know, keep us updated. We'd love to catch up on what you guys are doing.
Will do. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.
You too. Once again, folks, it's soldierstrong.org. Check it out. This podcast and over 250 others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out. Don't forget to visit our Patreon page if you'd like to help us spread these messages. patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.